Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to this time of worship. This morning we're going to have a message out of the book of Romans. We're going to be talking about God's will and how to identify God's will for our lives. It's a subject that many people struggle with, wondering if they're truly hearing God's voice correctly. And then Alan Vest has prepared for us a great song entitled, Open the Eyes to My Heart. So let us begin this morning with a word of prayer. So let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the way that you bless us. We thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you, Lord, that you do indeed lead us and guide us in the ways of our lives. And so we pray now that you'll open our hearts and our minds and help us to hear your word. So we praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes from the book of Romans, from Paul's letter to the Romans. This is chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I think a lot of us would love to hear from God with such clarity that he says, this is what I want you to do. You know, overall, most people I speak with yearn to hear God's voice in a clear way, and they want to know God's will for their lives. This is one of the biggest issues I come across as a pastor. People wanting to know what God's will is for their lives. Sometimes they say, I have a big decision and I need to know what God wants me to do. Or I'm at a crossroads and I wonder which way to turn. These are very common things that people yearn for. They want to feel that they are hearing God correctly, that they are indeed following God's will. Well, I have great news. And that is, God wants us to know his will even more than we want to know his will. God's will is not some secret. Discovering God's will is not some kind of existential Easter egg hunt where God hides his will and is amused by watching us try to find it. No, God desires for us to know and to do his will. I love to tell the story about when I was on my very intentional spiritual journey before I entered seminary. And I was asked by the pastor of my home church to stand up before the congregation one Sunday and to tell them what God's will was for my life. Well, at first I thought, what a wonderful opportunity. But then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, I'm not sure what I'm going to tell them. Because I was thinking of God's will for my life in terms of vocation. But suddenly, it occurred to me that vocation is something that flows out of God's will, but God's true will for each and every one of us is something much more personal, something much more relational. And so what I said on that Sunday morning when I stood before the congregation was I said, God's will for my life is for me to love God, to trust God, and to joyfully accept his grace. And I believe today more than ever that that is God's will for our lives, to enter into relationship with him, to love him, to trust him, and to joyfully accept his grace. So to find God's will, we don't have to be super spiritual. All we have to do is to know how God speaks to us and how we hear him. It's really about learning to spot his will when we see it and then choosing to follow. But before we get into that, we need to have the right understanding about God's will. You know, many people have this view of God that he's distant or that he's difficult to have a relationship with. Some read the Old Testament and think that God is angry. But of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Listen to what the Bible says about God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, God, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. In John 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the sovereign God who loves us so much that he calls us his children. And in James 1, verse 17, it says, the Father who gives only good gifts. So you see, the Bible is clear that we have a loving and merciful God. And the most convincing evidence for the good nature and will of God is God's revelation to us in Jesus Christ. God chose to reveal himself in Jesus Christ so that we could understand what his nature is like. Through Christ, God communicated to us that he forgives us, that he loves us, and he wants what is best for us. After all, he went all of the way to the cross to prove how much he loves us. And this is why I have lifted up this scripture passage this morning out of Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. For today's passage clearly lays out what God has in mind for us. And what God has in mind for us comes in three wonderful words in verse 2. Good, pleasing, and perfect. Yes, it says God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. First, God's will is good. This means that God has the highest and best for us in mind. And second, it says God's will is pleasing. The Greek word for pleasing means acceptable and agreeable. And third, God's will is perfect, which means it meets the needs of the person. We can trust God and we can trust His will because we know that His will is perfect. And so you can be sure that no matter what circumstance you face, you can have the peace that comes from knowing that God's will for you in that situation is good, pleasing, and perfect. God knows us better than we know ourselves, and He wants what is best for us. Now, by now you may be asking, well, if God wants us to know His will and it's good for us, why is it so difficult to discover? And I say, because we have a will too. And generally what I find is when people are struggling to find God's will, it's really a battle of wills, trying to decide whether or not they want to do God's will. You see, often people know what God's will is for them. They just are not sure that they are hearing correctly, and they're afraid to step out in faith and follow what they believe God's will is. So they hide behind the statement, you know, I just can't find God's will, or I can't be sure. When in reality, it's more like, I don't want to do what God is telling me to do. It's not what I had planned. It doesn't fit with what I sense I want to do. Well, what I find as I counsel people is that choosing to do God's will sometimes is far more difficult than discovering what God's will is. I tell a humorous story that there once was an agnostic who fell off a cliff, and halfway down he caught hold of a bush. And as he hung high above the ground, he shouted, "Is anybody up there?" And again he shouted, "Is anybody up there?" A voice answered, "Yes, this is the Lord." And the man yelled frantically, "Please help me." Well, there was a moment of silence, and then the Lord said, "Let go of the bush, and I will catch you." And there was another long silence as the man looked at the ground far below. And then he yelled, "Is anybody else up there?" You see, we often do the same thing. We ask God for His will. We know in our hearts what He wants us to do. But sometimes it's just not what we want to do. And so we struggle to let go of our own will and to follow God's will. And why do we do this? If we know God has the best for us in mind, why do we refuse to do God's will? Well, oftentimes it's because of fear. It means we're going to have to step out in faith. We don't know what the end result might be. And so this fear that we might have, when it's out of control, it can strip our spiritual gears, and it can cause us to hesitate and to question whether or not we're hearing God correctly. We want empirical proof that God is real. We want guarantees. We try to bargain with God. And you see, doing God's will with certain conditions is not obedience. To obey and follow God's will means to surrender everything to God. He wants everything we are and hope to be. And I sincerely believe He wants us to love Him, to trust Him, and to joyfully accept His grace. It was C.S. Lewis who once said that all genuine religious conversions are blessed defeats. If we want to be clear about God's will and live it out, we must have surrendered our will to God. Instead of deciding what we want to do and asking God to bless it, we must decide to surrender to God and ask Him what He wants to do with us. We must put ourselves at God's disposal. And then and only then will we be clear about our Lord's will for our lives. Remember, Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So, saved from ourselves, we can get on with the job, both as individuals and as a church. We do not have to be super people. Maturity is about knowing who we are, what abilities we have, and how to use them for the good. It's not about making a name for ourselves, nor is it somehow about needing to make ourselves more than what we are, or doing more than we are able to do. No, that's not at all what God has in mind. He makes it clear that each of us has a special gift, and all we are expected to do to carry out God's will is to use the gifts He has given us. We don't need to try to be something that we're not, and we don't need to do it for any kind of acclaim. We give the glory to God, and we praise Him for the gifts that He has given us. So here again, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12 from Romans. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." What wonderful words to live by. What wonderful words to affirm God's love for each of us. To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, let us enjoy, as we continue to worship, let us enjoy Alan Vest's song this morning that he has prepared, "Open the Eyes to My Heart," arranged and performed by Alan Vest.
of my soul, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the ears of my soul, Lord. Open the ears to my soul. I want to hear you. I want to hear you. To hear you high and lifted. We sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your fire and love. We sing holy, holy, holy. Open the ears to my soul, Lord. Open the ears to my soul. I want to see you.
Thanks to Alan for that great song, Open the Eyes to My Heart. Well, friends, as you go into this coming week, if you're faced with a time when you are struggling to know what God's will is, I hope my experience speaks to you, and that is that rather than thinking of God's will as a part of vocation, think of it as a part of our relationship with God. And I believe sincerely that God's will for our lives is to love Him, to trust Him, and to joyfully accept His grace. Think about that. Take a moment and think about that in terms of your own relationship with God. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.